Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Patricia Shee. Patricia Shee is an internationally recognized violinist and associate professor of violin in the Baylor University School of Music. She has toured around the world as both a recitalist and soloist and performed with leading orchestras such as the Royal Philharmonic in England and a variety of leading venues, including Carnegie Hall, London's Wigmore Hall, and more. A virtuoso performer, she first publicly performed at the age of 4 and later studied at the age of 14 under legendary Indiana University violinist and teacher Joseph King Gold. In addition to teaching at Baylor, she is first violinist for the acclaimed Borealis String Quartet, and she's with us today here on the program. Patricia Shee, thanks so much. It's great to have you here today on Baylor Connections.
Thank you, Derek. It's an honor to be here.
Well, you came to Baylor last year, at the beginning of last semester. So obviously you've had to navigate a lot with COVID-19 adjusting to your first year. But in these first several months here on faculty at Baylor, what stood out to you about the university, its students, the Baylor experience, or any aspect that's really stood out to you?
There's so many things. I did arrive here in Waco last August, and since being here, I can comment that aside from the vast beauty of the Baylor campus itself, the faculty and staff at Baylor has been extraordinary in so many ways. Their expertise, commitment, dedication, and passion, as well, every person on the faculty and staff here has made every effort they could to help me in so many ways. As a new professor here, I've always felt so welcomed, and I am deeply inspired and honored by the opportunity to interact with my colleagues, to share in their passion of building this perfect learning community for all of our students, which is essentially the first priority. And it's also been a great pleasure and privilege getting to know and working with my really wonderful students. And I would say that being part of the Baylor family has been really a tremendous and an all-embracing experience. The year did go by seemingly quick, and I'm really looking forward to the coming fall.
Well, you, Patricia Shee, have maintained a very busy performance schedule over the years that we'll talk about as the show goes on. But I'm curious, what drew you into education? What drew you to teach as well as perform?
Yes, from my experiences in the different genres as a musician, either soloing or playing recital, being a chamber musician, and actually more specifically, obviously with the string quartet, I've discovered that teaching is an integral part of who I am and what I find to be extremely rewarding. Congruous with these experiences, I've been blessed to have the opportunity to pass on knowledge and discipline I've acquired from my legendary teachers, and to be able to continue the lineage and then mentor the young talents whenever our travel has allowed me to do so. So whether it's coaching a young quartet in Taiwan or recently in Poland, it's been a revelation in the way that I discover more of myself as an artist. And the inspiration I receive witnessing the students' capabilities expand. And to watch a student grow, not just as a musical artist, but as a human being, as they're so intertwined.
We mentioned that you are first violinist with the Borealis String Quartet. What does, at this point, as you teach, but also continue to play, what does that performance schedule look like for you these days? Obviously, accounting for the fact that COVID-19 has shut down a lot of travel and touring opportunities.
Yes, I'm continuing to play whenever the time allows. Most often, yes, as the first violinist of the Borealis String Quartet. Right now, with the circumstances, as you mentioned, taking place, all of our upcoming concerts have been temporarily put on hold. So, which actually included two tours going to Europe this summer. In September, the September one would have been a shorter one. We were going to Germany, Italy, and even St. Petersburg in Russia this summer. And We had also concerts and festivals here in North America, as well, which they've all, everything's been postponed, for now. The first time was, that it happened was when I actually flew back to Vancouver during the spring break here in March, for an event up in, BC. And, right when we got there, basically it got canceled the day before it was to begin. With all this social distancing in place, I guess it would be very difficult and challenging to rehearse and prepare, especially within an ensemble. So,
sure. Well, hopefully one of these days as things rolls on, we get back to that normal schedule. I know people miss some of those things, the music and otherwise, and we look forward to the chances now that we get to know you on the show, to get to hear more of your music professionally down the line, as we visit with Patricia Shee, Associate Professor of Violin at Baylor and a professional violinist. And Patricia, you performed publicly for the first time at the age of 4 years old. What do you remember about that experience? What you played or where that was?
Yes, that was actually in the U.S. It was in Bellingham, Washington. It was right across the U.S.-Canada border, and we lived at that time very close to the border, and I played the Bach Violin Concerto, and it was after a very short time of study, so I don't remember too much of it. I think my mother has some of it recorded on a little of that Super 8 from a long time ago with a different era.
Well, what do you remember? I mean, to be able to perform something like that at the age of four, obviously you had an ability right away. What are your earliest memories of being captured by music, and more specifically by the violin?
I would say, Derek, I say the violin is the greatest discovery of my life. And I can't really remember a time without music. It's always been a part of who I am. And I've always identified myself as a musician and a violinist. I was told by my parents that as a toddler, I would immediately beg for my older sister Anne's violin as soon as she left for school. And I would imitate by ear all the melodies which I had heard her play. So my parents got the hint, obviously, and bought me my own 1/8 size violin soon after.
Wow.
I do want to add that both my sisters are also professional and wonderful musicians. Anne is teaching violin as well, playing in Germany. She's teaches at the really prestigious a good Hochschule there, and is an artistic director of many festivals in Europe. And she also teaches my son. And then Connie, my younger sister, also lives in Germany, and she's very busy as a concert pianist and is often the dual recital partner with the world-renowned cellist, Stephen Isserdis. So she's been performing with some of the world's great musicians, including pianist Andra Schiff, Radu Lupu, and violinist Joshua Bell, which was a colleague of mine as well, at Indiana under Mr. Gingell. So they recently played together in concert, and they at Wigmore Hall in London too. So, that's very...
That's great.
It's exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that the violin was the great discovery of your life. And help us view the violin through your eyes a little bit. What you love about it, what aspects of it, even as you've been playing it basically your whole life, still seem new, fresh, and exciting to you when you begin to play?
Yes. I personally think that the violin is the closest form to the singing voice. It's such a very expressive instrument, and at the same time also very, very personal and intimate. It's a bit inexplicable, but I actually think that the instrument becomes alive. And after time, it takes on the personality of the player. Especially if the player possesses a strong personality. I remember actually playing, I got to play the violin of Fritz Kreiser, who is one of the most well-known violinists and where everyone traces a lineage to. I was at the competition, and at the finals, all the finalists had the opportunity to play on his violin. And just when I picked it up and you can hear the tone of Kreiser's coming out just from the violin, even after many years. But he had such a strong character and such a warmth and love in his playing. The violin is also a very aesthetically beautiful instrument. Right now I'm playing on an old Italian violin, made in Milan by Paolo Testori, built in 1740. So for me, playing the violin doesn't really feel like an occupation, but actually a beautiful way of defining and portraying life. And so to be a musician is to be human. And I really do believe that music is a mirror of the soul, a sum of its experiences, emotions, thoughts, and wisdoms. And I think as long as one has adequately perfected the skill and craft at a young, relatively young age, or collected this comprehensive toolbox, you can say, there's no limits on how far one can develop so long as the essence and force of humanity exists within yourself. And our great composers, such as Bach and Beethoven, Mozart, were amongst the greatest examples of humanity. But again, great art sometimes is difficult to fathom and I would say mysterious in its depths. So the greater the music, the longer the search, and therefore also the more rewarding. And I think it takes an entire lifetime to understand it, and then even more. So
that's great. We are visiting with Patricia Shee, internationally recognized violinist and associate professor of violin at Baylor. Well, we sense your love and appreciation of the instrument. You also mentioned the aptitude that you built, that you certainly have. And to give us a little, just a sense of your own experience in being a young player to where you are now. If someone asked you from your own experience, if a young violinist or their parents asked you, what does it take for me to get where you are? Assuming they have that love and that aptitude, what would you tell them?
Yeah. Okay. I have noticed that many young musicians are really focused, and I would say sometimes almost too focused on being a top performer. And then if it doesn't happen, sometimes, great disappointment can set in, which can be negative to one's mental and even physical health. But I would suggest that the more important thing is that you've instilled in yourself the respect and love for music, that you have the discipline of trying to reach the highest level possible in your gift and purpose, which comes from God. And if becoming a top performer is a purpose, then it'll happen, given you possess the ingredients, including the necessary consistency and preparation. And I will quote from the great violinist Yasha Heifetz. He's considered by many the king of violinists. He said, "It takes the nerves of a bullfighter, the digestion of a peasant, the vitality of a nightclub hostess, the tact of a diplomat, and the concentration of a Tibetan monk to lead the strenuous life of a virtuoso."
Wow.
So I do want to add that there are unlimited ways to make music as a career in one's life, because it's such a powerful tool that does influence the health, self-growth, development. It nourishes the soul and is the language of the soul. So I would say, for instance, musical therapy is a huge thing today because of our aging population, and also people's interest in natural medicine. Music benefits people suffering from dementia, to strokes, to autism, and helps even through either childbirth. Dr. Knafstein, who's a gynecological surgeon, he's done studies of the very many positive effects of listening to classical Mozart, music of Mozart, Vivaldi at childbirth. So I would even think that nursing, psychology, music, general arts, education, students who are musical and can play an instrument decently can even strive for a career in this very growing field.
You mentioned that you studied under Joseph Gingold at Indiana University, starting at the age of 14 years old. Studying under someone of that stature, how did that experience shape you?
It was Mr. Gingold was not only a mentor to me, but he would say, like, he was our grandfather, which he was. His love of the violin and music was truly compelling to all who knew him, and his qualities as a teacher are legendary. He had this all-encompassing and almost encyclopedic musical knowledge. And sometimes the memories of being with him are very vivid. And I realized afterwards that his approach was to teach me without me being aware of it. It was his nurturing and subtle way of not wanting to take anything away or harm a natural talent in any possible way. I would say if he thought my bow arm needed improvement, he would, instead of criticizing, pick up his violin and play. It's just somehow giving me the aspiration to imitate and self-correct. Even the way he would gently pick up or put down a great musical score, there was a purpose to it. And I just remember the many stories. He has so many of his experiences with his own teacher, Eugenio Zai, the conductor Toscanini, so many others. He really was a genuine humanitarian. And at the age of 14, I think I was almost not mature enough to comprehend who he was until later in my life. And now I realize that music is not just a craft to be mastered and executed. It's a Bible of life. As the human depths are unlimited by words.
How did that experience with Mr. Gingold connect you to Baylor, at least initially? How did you first learn about Baylor there?
What makes my connection with Baylor so remarkable and special for me personally is this relationship with Baylor since I was a young teacher. Young teenager. Although Mr. Gingold had received many awards through his lifetime, in his studio, you would see on his wall, along with many portraits of great musicians, his treasured Cherry Award from Baylor. So he was intrinsically proud of it and often spoke of the elite institution it is. He also performed here with the Waco Symphony during his near the end of his life. He came here and played under Maestro Stephen Hyde. He spoke so highly of it. And it's written on his Wikipedia as well, of Baylor. And of course, there's also another connection with one of my dear pianist friends from Belgium who considers Baylor to be one of a handful of the best institutions on this continent. So when this opportunity came up, it seemed the perfect time and perfect fit for me. And I'm just tremendously honored to be here at Baylor.
We visit with Patricia Shee, Associate Professor of Violin here at Baylor. And in your playing career, what have been, kind of between then and now, what have been some of your favorite moments, favorite opportunities, the chances to play that have meant the most to you professionally?
Oh, yes. I would say there's some key moments. Was when I was studying at Indiana University, I was given the opportunity by Rostislav Dubinsky. He's the first violinist and founder of the famed Borodik String Quartet. He arranged for my sisters and I to play for his manager, Marie D. Anders, who was then the most prominent manager in North America at the time. So since then we started touring and we were very blessed to be given this chance. And from that, I remember one incident cramming to learn the Prokofiev Violin Concerto No. 2, which I've never played or even heard, in just over 2 weeks for a concert with the Toronto Symphony as Midori, the violinist, had canceled. I would say that another key moment would be when I began playing in the Borel String Quartet. Before this, I was performing mostly as a soloist or in recital, which I've greatly enjoyed. But delving in chamber music has opened up a really new dimension for me as an artist. I've had the privilege of working on some of the greatest masterpieces ever written, such as the late string quartets of Beethoven, Bartok, Shostakovich, Haydn, Mendelssohn. There's such an abundance of incredible repertoire. And as a quartet, we're sharing the same goals of trying to achieve the highest artistry possible at the moment. And when you're making music with others, you develop the sense of trust of empathy and of compassion. And essentially we're communicating within ourselves and then with our audiences. But you know, after long hours of working on different aspects of interpreting the music, working on things like, you know, phrasing, style, tempi, the feeling in the moment are never the same once we get on stage. Each concert will be different. The way we respond to each other's spontaneity, we must be flexible and have sensitivity. And sometimes it works, it's okay. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's great. And sometimes at the very best, it can be even magical. And we all of us acknowledge the privilege of being able to share our music with our audiences worldwide.
Visiting with Patricia Shee from Baylor School of Music. And Patricia, as we head into the final couple of moments on the program, I wanted to close by asking you, anyone who hears you play, or any student, and I realize these are two different things, but any student who gets to spend time under your tutelage, what do you hope they take away from that experience?
Oh, I would say a primary focus for me is how my interpretation of whichever music I'm playing speaks to the audience and how it projects my personality from the stage. That I was able to convincingly tell a story, whether it's Tchaikovsky's, Mendelssohn's, Bach's, or contemporary modern work, that I was able to touch and uplift the spirits and emotions of my audience.
That's great. Well, where can people go if they would like to hear you perform online? Well, obviously in this time when touring isn't an option, where might people be able to go to find some of your work?
I would say on YouTube, and we've done some recordings. I think they're sold on Apple Music. We've done 6 recordings so far. There's some in the makings, right now, including some videos, which have to be put on hold.
Mm-hmm. Well, Borealis String Quartet, if people want to look that up on YouTube or Apple Music, get a chance to hear you perform, and look forward to when you can perform again and see what your students do here at Baylor. Well, Patricia Shee, thanks so much for your time. It's been great to visit with you, and thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much, Derek. It's been a really great pleasure being here and speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Patricia Shee, internationally renowned violinist and associate professor of violin in the Baylor School of Music, our guest today here on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.